listen to the Tommy Schnurmecker Show live weekdays 9 to noon on CJAD 800 and CJAD.com.
Good morning and welcome back to CJAD. Welcome back to the Tommy Schnurmecker Show. Tommy is back on Thursday. I am indeed James Manny, the Montreal Gazette, sitting in for Tommy. And we're talking about the economy. We're talking about a rather unusual jobs report that came out for July that says only 200 jobs. Canada only added 200 jobs in July. What does this mean for Quebec, which has an economy, pas comme les autres. It's in a fragile state. The Quebec Liberals are doing their best, they say, to try and get things back online. But when you see numbers like this, could there be something afoot here that is going to throw a spanner in the works? Will help us answer that question. We're now joined by Vincent Geloso. He's an economist with the Montreal Economic Institute. Welcome back to CJAD.
It's a pleasure to be here.
200 jobs. You know, I rarely see numbers like that in a jobs report. Is that you raise your eyebrows over that one?
Yes and no. For the reason that the data that we're using right now, the one you're quoting, is from the Labor Force Survey. It's always a gouging indicator. It's not supposed to be a very precise one. The best indicator comes in always 3 months late. It's the SEPH. I forget exactly what it stands for. This one is more precise. So we shouldn't get too much stuck on these numbers. But still, there's something really weird about the actual numbers. If you look from the recession point start and how much the economy has recuperated from that, there's actually huge gaps in Canada. The provinces which recuperated from the recessions are the Maritimes, Quebec. Quebec got back to the level it was before, and Saskatchewan and Manitoba. BC, Alberta, and Ontario are in a ditch, and they're the one dragging down Canadian job growth massively, especially Ontario, to a very large extent. Ontario is still not recovered in terms of employment, has not recovered to what it was before the recession.
Well, a lot of what I've heard, though, is especially in the case of Quebec, is that everything is relative, and our performance wasn't that great anyway. So for us to go up, or to say we weathered the recession, some would say, well, actually, we were in a recession before it actually occurred. So
it's important to point out that Quebec has returned to the level it was before the recession. But that level is still the second lowest in Canada.
Yeah.
So there's, for every 10 people of working age there is in Quebec, only 6 will be working, which is less than there is in all the other provinces, save Prince Edward Island, which I don't consider as an economic stalwart of Canada.
So, okay, but if we scrape away all the mitigating factors, can you explain why, for example, and people are going to hear Alberta say, what now?
Yeah.
They're growing money on trees out there. What's going on?
They're not. Alberta is spending money like drunken sailors at the bar.
Yeah.
They're spending very crazy. And if you look at all oil-producing districts in North America, and you compare the tax rate, you compare the spending patterns, Alberta has a spending problem, and it keeps increasing taxes to a very fast pace, but taxes that are not the most... There are bad taxes, and there's really, really bad taxes.
Yeah.
Alberta relies to raise revenue on very bad taxes, especially corporation taxes or royalties from oil, which are very volatile, and hence hinder a lot of economic growth. Alberta is, in this situation, very problematic, and hence is not as great a stalwart as we think. The only reason they're having something is because oil prices are up. But as soon as the international market for oil adjusts, Alberta's very poor fiscal situation, very poor public finances. Remember, Alberta is the province that increases spending the fastest in Canada. If they'd kept spending at the same level that they had relative to the economy, Alberta would still have budget surpluses right now. It would probably still be sending money to the rest of Canada. Right now, even though they still pay equalization, the payments they get in equalization, the payment they verse in equalization versus what they get in terms of the other federal transfers like healthcare transfer and the social program transfers are close to what they contribute. So they're bordering the situation they might actually become move from net contributor to Federation to net benefitors of the Federation.
Well, let me ask you, though, if this, and I'll use the word even though you didn't use it, but let's say if this rather wobbly petroleum bubble should suddenly burst, okay? Alberta's got a problem. How big a problem does the rest of the country have? Because right now, Alberta seems to be in the center of gravity in terms of people moving there to work. And everything you've heard about or appear to have heard about growth seems to have been centered in Alberta. How big a deal is that going to be?
I don't think it's going to be that much of a deal. It will be a problem if the oil burst, because the biggest drag right now in Canada is from Ontario, and we'll get back to this in a minute. But Saskatchewan, Manitoba are getting much better, and the Maritimes, which were for a long time the laggards in Confederation, they're catching up. Nova Scotia is catching up. New Brunswick is catching up to the Canadian average. And Newfoundland is actually catching up big time. And they have, strangely, in spite of the fact that in the oil-producing districts of North America, they're not the best, but they're not the worst. They're pretty much in the average when you look at the rankings of how they perform. So the Maritimes are doing great. Manitoba and Saskatchewan are doing okay. The real Quebec is not that great, but it's not worsening.
Yeah.
And it's exactly as it used to be. But Alberta, Ontario, and BC are doing terrible.
Okay, let's back up for a second, because you're talking about the Maritimes. I mean, what exactly do we attribute this to, the fact that they're performing well?
Well, there's a part that is natural resources, especially for Newfoundland. Yeah. But there's a part of good fiscal policy. For example, under Sean Graham, the previous Liberal premier of New Brunswick cut corporate taxes. It reduced the size of its government. And since the 1980s, Maritimes, if you look at indicators of economic freedom, ease of doing business, labor market regulations, they've been going up. They're not champions, but they've been moving in the right direction. So they've been improving their situation. And on top of that, there's been very good federal policies that have eased up labor market problems, especially the unemployment reform, which has increased the tendency of people to supply more labor to the market, which has been a very good thing in the long run. I'm talking not only about the recent reform, but also reforms in the 90s that were done by Jean Chrétien.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to Vincent Geloso. He's an economist with the Montreal Economic Institute. And I know the Montreal Economic Institute actually, I believe, put out, I think it was last month, a study decrying the fact that Quebec's, you know, you're talking about business friendly or development friendly policies, and that Quebec's spending in terms of state spending was kind of like through the roof. Is that really the sort of you know, rock that's dragging any progress? I mean,
if Quebec was to improve its situation, if it was to improve, it would improve Canada's lot by a significant margin. But Quebec right now is at the bottom of a barrel, but it's not digging any further. It's not worsening the situation. It's historically poor levels, but it's not worsening the situation. The problem in terms of the future is Ontario. Ontario is performing very poorly. Ontario used to be the richest province in Canada. It is not anymore. It has had actually no productivity growth. Basically, if you look at how efficient firms in Ontario are, there has been no increase in how firms are efficient in Ontario since 2001. The only it's the slow growth of productivity in Ontario has been, and you consider they make 40% of the Canadian economy. If you're that poor in terms of productivity growth, you're going to drag everybody else down.
The landscape is changing, and when we come back, we'll be taking a look at what we might expect down the road. Right now, we're talking to Vincent Geloso, economist at the Montreal Economic Institute. Good morning. Welcome back to CJAD and the Tommy Schnurrenmacher Show. I'm here with Vincent Geloso, an economist with the Montreal Economic Institute, talking about recent economic developments or not in this great country of ours. And earlier you were making reference to how various provinces were recovering or not from the 2008 recession. Do we even think about the R word anymore? I mean, given the world situation, is it still that little sort of like shadow in the alleyway that we're concerned about?
The R word is more important for Americans and Europeans than it is for Canadians. But the reality is that there's small R recessions in pockets of Canada.
Yeah.
Especially, as I said, Ontario, which has been dragging around very poorly. And otherwise, the rest of Canada has been doing very great. It has adapted very, very efficiently. It has returned. Every province is now richer than it was at the beginning of the recession. But there are some provinces where employment is still below trend, productivity is below trend. So basically, the income level has only risen because people have moved away from, let's say, Ontario and BC, and they've moved toward places where things are going a little bit better. But the three big problems is BC, Alberta, and Ontario. And Ontario is the biggest problem. They've been having the largest tax increases for all of Canada. They're spending money that they don't have. They've become a net beneficiary of the equalization program. And their public sector, which is probably the largest problem, is growing in terms of employment. It used to employ 15% of the workforce. Now it employs 20%.
Okay.
It's growing. It doesn't seem that big, but you have to consider one thing. If you take all employees of the public sector and you compare them with equivalent employees of the private sector, so you try and consider age. Let's say I just cloned you and I put your clone in the private sector. There's no difference in productivity and how efficient you are as workers, but just by the virtue of working for the public sector in Ontario, your clone working in the public sector will be paid 14% more. Yeah. Than you are in the public sector, and that is in the private sector. It's the highest proportion in all of Canada. It's BC as a lower one, Canada as a whole as a lower one, even Quebec as a lower premium for working in the public sector. So it's a huge tax that is implicit, that is hiding behind. So basically, there's a large share of the workforce that is not employed to its true productivity. And it's a tax on businesses, which they have to pay for a higher tax burden to pay those employees, which are not benefiting them in terms of productivity, in terms of services. So basically what you end up with is a situation in which Ontarians are paying a very large tax burden for a bloated government, which is actually growing more bloated over time.
I find that intriguing because you just made me think, talking about BC and Ontario, we're having a very loud debate here in Quebec over pension plan deficits, and we're talking basically right now about municipal employees, but I've heard rumblings from across the country basically that this is a time bomb. This is a national time bomb. We're getting older. A lot of people are in the public service, and when those people leave and those payments are made, there's some very hard choices that are going to have to be made.
Yes, and it is a national problem, but I would say that Ontario in that regard is actually a slight advantage over Quebec for the simple reason that if you look at immigration numbers, Ontario gets the bulk of immigration to Canada, and they're getting mostly workers that are still in their working age. So basically, they're going to still contribute relative to the older population. And not only that, is the size of the older population is slightly larger in Quebec than it is in Ontario right now. And it probably is. Ontario's population ages much slower than Quebec's population, in short. So it will be a problem more in Quebec, especially since we are at the bottom of the barrel. Ontario is going to the bottom of the barrel. It's not there yet.
Yeah.
So basically, our situation is still worse, but everybody's worsening towards us.
How much attention should we be paying to what's happening in the U.S. right now? What's at stake for us?
I have a hard time knowing about the U.S. It's hard to fix it, but of course, there's still the old adage that when the U.S. sneezes, we get a cold.
Exactly.
So, yes, it is a problem that U.S. growth right now is very poor. It's recovering very poorly. And if you consider, for example, all employment statistics in the United States, if you try not only consider the official unemployment rate, but you add in people who are forced to be employed part-time, who would want to work full-time, people who have just abandoned job search, consider all of that together, unemployment in the United States is still above 10%. So it's still a problem. As long as the U.S. don't recover from their recession, and they still haven't to a full extent,
I know.
We're still going to be having a hard time. But we're not making it easier in some provinces.
But guess what? And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Vincent Geloso, who's an economist with the Montreal Economic Institute. Not only do we have a free trade agreement with the U.S., we also seem to have a brand spanking new trade agreement with Europe as well. How big a deal do you think that's going to be for us?
I think it's positive as a whole, but I'm not a big fan of this. This is a question of opinion, and some economists will disagree with me on this one. But trade agreements I'm in favor of unilateral free trade. You just say, listen, every good can come in, and everyone can import into Canada, and we'll get cheaper inputs for our firms. We'll get cheaper things to buy. Prices will diminish for consumers in Canada. Bilateral trade agreements are very distortionary. Let's say they mess up how relative price moves, and they don't necessarily promote the way trade should actually happen naturally.
Mm.
They distort incentives. So it's a good thing that trade is now freer, but it's not necessarily free trade. So when the government, for example, says that it's going to create that many jobs, it will likely create some jobs. It will likely reduce some prices, and it will likely increase incomes of Canadians, but it won't do as much as they say. It's not as a big blip as they pretend it to be.
Last question for you. Do you think 12 months from now, 12 months from this very date, we're going to be in better or worse shape as a country economically?
I'm not a financial analyst.
Come on.
I don't bet.
Come on.
I've lost so much on betting on those trends. I don't do it anymore.
Is it?
Especially since... It's hard to predict when politicians are playing in and messing up the game, which you're trying to predict based on the assumption that they will be, you know, acting as normal people would.
Well, there you go. Vincent Geloso, at least you're honest. Vincent Geloso, economist with the Montreal Economic Institute. Always a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you
so much. CJAD time is 11:55.
News Talk Radio, CJAD 800, CJAD.com.